Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Had a really good time on Friday at Costas. Feels like about a month ago in baseball and sports terms over the weekend. But my dude, Beano Ranson, hung out with me for the first time, like really ever, like hanging out all afternoon. And we caught up on basketball and life and the Terps and the NIL. You'll check all that out here at WNST. I have a few Magic 8 balls left. I have some Monopolies. And there's a word that I'm going to get these Back to the Futures on Thursday when we are at the Beaumont in Catonsville. We will also be on the 23rd at Cooper's Pub, Cooper's North, I should say, in Timonium. Got some great guests set up for there and some old friends as well. That's the 23rd. Then the 30th, we will be at Coco's Pub. This guy will join me at some point down at Fadley's when he's not running between the raindrops with the Orioles and off days and cold days and weird weather and sunshine, bad pitching, sub 500. And here comes the whole state of Ohio to play baseball this week. Luke, I'm just opening up for you. I mean, you and I will get after it. I'm sure you'll monologue and I'll monologue. And I meant to write some notes down for everything I could talk about, but just everything you sort of fear for what can go wrong went wrong on Sunday. And I'm not just talking about the Blue Jays because they weren't very good either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about the Blue Jays, but at the very least, the most positive thing you can talk about right now as it pertains to the Orioles is the rest of the division and the fact that no one in the AL East, including the Yankees, who, if you go look at starting pitcher ERA in the majors, you'll see the Yankees kind of right there with the Orioles in terms of it being a major problem. But I think what makes the weekend so disappointing for me is not that, okay, they failed to win back-to-back games again. They failed to win a series again. They settle for a split. You know, Friday, of course, was postponed due to rain. But I think it's because of how good Saturday's game felt. They fall behind early in that game. The bats awaken. They get a big home run from Heston Kjerstad. They get what I think was a cathartic home run from Adley Rutschman. When you saw his reaction, you saw the bench's reaction. They get Felix Bautista a save for the first time since coming back from Tommy John surgery. The bullpen was really good. And to a man, you talk to different individuals, whether it was Brandon Hyde or Cedric Mullins, who had the go-ahead two-run double in that game. It really had a 2023 kind of feel to that game where they came back, they won a close game, they played great defense, they turned five double plays in that game. And you're thinking, all right, it's mid-April. We all understand that. But as mid-April games go, it felt a little more important. It felt a little more meaningful only to go out there Sunday and have a lead. The offense carried over some of the early momentum. They score a run in each of the first four games. Or first four innings, excuse me. But then the bullpen, which had been really good until Sunday, it falters on Sunday. So just when the offense kind of sort of awakens, and we can get into it. Look, they also had opportunities to add on in that game, and they didn't. But
Well, the Blue
just
Jays kicked the balls around like the
right.
Bad News Bears and made decisions that
And they
were just
gifted them two runs,
horrendous.
right?
It gifted them outs, all sorts of opportunities to be better in the game. And I mean, Brian Baker's their bright light. If you would have told me that on February the 10th, I would have said, "What?"
Yeah.
But I just keep going back to where you were with the momentum on Saturday and Sunday. They're never going to get pitching good enough where it's going to like rev up. This is never going to look like the Braves in their prime. It's just not.
Oh,
And
sure.
no matter how good last night was, tomorrow's a 3 to 5 inning start with 3 to 5 runs given up, and eight hits and base runners and having to make plays and make defense and turn double plays, which is great. I mean, getting double plays, better to turn them than to hit into them.
Yeah, and look, their defense looked way better over this series. I mean, especially on Saturday, they made some, their infield defense was excellent on Saturday. I mean, way better than what we've seen. So you get some positive signs there. The offense, look, 0 for 13 with runners in scoring position. Could they have gotten a big hit at some point that really would have gone a long way to secure that win? Absolutely. At the same time, they scored six runs, right? And this is where, as I've said to you, when they only score one or two or three runs, I mean, that's not going to be good enough because of what you said with the pitching. But Sunday was maybe the first time where it felt like, okay, the offense, yeah, they could have done more. And certainly Toronto gave them a hand with those final two runs in the sixth inning. But 6 runs should be enough to win games. You know, it's much more up for debate when you score three or four, right? But six should be good enough, and it wasn't. And it's frustrating. I mean, I saw some second guessing on social media, and that was fine because they could have tried to squeeze a little more out of Cade Povich if they wanted to. At the same time, it's not like he was dominant. It's not like he was mowing down the Jays. I mean, he wasn't missing bats. You know, he was missing a lot arm side when he got ahead in the count, and
He's not going
that's.
to miss a lot of bats, dude. He's going to, he, you know, you got to play
I mean,
defense behind him.
his strikeout totals aren't bad, but. I think when you look at the lineup that he faced on Sunday, I mean, Toronto, I think, you know, accounting for switch hitters like Santander, I think they had one lefty in the lineup against him. He needs to be able to land that changeup a little more than he did. He missed a lot arm side when he was, you know, had two strikes, and he talked about that. If he's not going to be able to do that, then yeah, he's not going to miss very many bats. So it wasn't awful. Like, he wasn't a disaster or anything like that. But when you have starting pitching that's consistently struggling to get through 5 innings, let alone six, it's just a long chain to go through with your bullpen. Now, I'll say this. They do have a nine-man bullpen right now until they need a fifth starter. So they have the arms. They had 2 days off Wednesday, you know, Thursday and Friday with the rain out. So, and then they have the day off on Monday. So Brandon Hyde and the coaching staff, and of course Hyde was ejected for balls and strikes, arguing balls and strikes early in the game, but they had a fresh bullpen other than Batista, right? And that's where you kind of look at Sunday and you say, okay, you don't have Felix Batista for the time being. He's not doing back-to-backs. We understand that. And I think that's a prudent, responsible decision, trying to keep him healthy. But where do you go with your bullpen from there? And that's where you look at it and you just say very plainly, yeah, they could have left Cade Povich in a little bit longer and seen how that would have gone. They certainly could have gone with Brian Baker to open the sixth after he only threw five pitches to strike out Springer. But at the same time, when you look at the current makeup of this pitching staff and more specifically the makeup of this rotation, they're going to need the bulk of their bullpen guys to get meaningful outs at some point in time. And the reality is on Sunday, Keegan Aiken and especially Gregory Soto didn't get the job done. They didn't do their job, right? I mean, they even everything that happens up until the eighth inning, Soto comes in a with a 3-run lead, and he couldn't get three outs. And it's a tie ball game then. So, you know, that
Well, then
as
there's the point where you identify Hoffman and say, you know, they could have had a player
and
and
they
they
could
want a
have.
player
The Braves
and
also deemed his arm
unworthy.
problematic. So it wasn't just the Orioles
But
there. And
the
look,
effort that just in
it
a,
could be
I'm not
wrong.
even being snide. I mean, I'm not
Well,
like they chased him and they offered him a contract and then sort of reneged. So that's where they are. He's pitching like a guy that you'd need to be pitching. That's all I'm saying. Whoever he
sure.
is, if his arm falls off in 6 weeks and it cost him $50 million, whatever it is, that's the
Right now, it
kind
looks
of
okay.
guy that come. What's that?
I said right now he looked pretty good on Sunday,
Yeah, he
right?
did. That's
Yeah.
the guy
Sure.
that that's the way your bullpen needs to look if Shigano, Morton, and
Yeah.
you know, the next Kyle Gibson are going to be your guys, you know?
Well, right, and that's where I said at the beginning of the season, that's why you heard me talking so much about the bullpen and David Robertson, who still hasn't signed with anyone. I don't know if he's going to pitch, who knows? But you can survive this kind of starting rotation that the Orioles have, and I said this more so before the Eflin injury. Now it's much more trying to hold on, right? You're trying to get Eflin back. You know, you'll see. You know, Gibson shouldn't be too much longer. You hope Grayson Rodriguez is still throwing bullpens, but still a lot of questions there, of
But
course.
Suarez isn't coming back
And
either, right?
Suarez is not. You know, he Suarez is going to be gone until deep into the summer at best. I mean, that's, you know, it's a rotator cuff issue, but you just look at it, and you know, I used. Cleveland was a perfect example that I cited over the offseason and specifically during spring training. And we're going to see the Guardians here this week. But you look at their rotation last year and they had injuries. It wasn't very good. They were, you know, whether you were talking about injuries, ERA, starter wins above replacement, they were near the bottom. But they overcame that with what was a pretty historic bullpen performance, right? Not just their closer, but they had five or six arms that you felt really good about throwing in just about every situation. Kind of that bullpen that I've told you that you need to have to navigate October now. I mean, it's just the truth, because even aces, generally speaking, aren't going 7 or 8 innings in playoff games at this point in time. So you need that kind of bullpen. But my point with that is you can get by with mediocre to bad rotation if you have a great bullpen. You might be able to get by with not a bad bullpen, but a mediocre bullpen if you have a great rotation. But if you have mediocre or bad for both, I don't care how good your offense is, it's going to be extremely difficult. And I think Sunday, what we saw there was just a reminder of just how small their margin for error is at this point in time, where they score 6 runs. And again, it wasn't, their offense could have done a little more. I'm not going to completely let them off the hook, but they still scored 6 runs at
They're
the
going to
end of the
score
day.
6 runs and lose games this year a lot.
Sure. And they're, but
I
this
mean,
was
a
kind of the
lot.
first,
That's going
yeah.
to happen a dozen times. I mean,
Well, the
really.
question is if it's a dozen or if it's way more than that. And if it's way more than that, then yeah, they won't have any shot because you're not going to score 10 runs a game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be
Well, any
completely
night, you said
unrealistic.
earlier, any night they score 1, 2, or 3, they're going to lose. They're not going to win 3-2 games.
I mean, it's going to be rare, right? It's going to be very rare. And that's why it was disappointing these first couple weeks where they did have a couple games where you only gave up 3 or you give up 4 and you just say, okay, it wasn't historic pitching, but it's good enough. And that's where you say, hello, offense, you need to win that game.
Dude, here's the
So
problem with the pitching.
it's not good.
And
I
it's
mean,
not
like, it's
gonna
not good.
get better. That's the problem.
Then
Like,
the season's
I
over.
think about the bullpen and what you're getting out of Baker, what you think of Soto and Dominguez and Bautista on their best days, whatever their best day is that you wanted to, pay them and think that they're $8 million or $12 million relievers or whatever you think of Robertson as a savior or a helper or a guy that can get them from the sixth to the seventh or the seventh to the eighth or wherever they are, whatever you think of Hoffman and going back to Xavier Hernandez 25 years ago and Peter and failing physicals and whether you want the guy or whether you don't want the guy or not. They went that through that with Balfour, right? They've had other guys that this has happened. And all I know is you need that productivity. You need Batista from 2 years ago. You need Britton from 10 years ago. You need two or three of that in order to be what you thought the Indians were last year that they held up well, what you thought the Phillies were for most of the summer, so much so that they gave two of their relievers away to this outfit at the trading deadline last year and said, we're still going to go win the World Series. And I don't know, you're already spending Mr. Rubenstein's money. And I've got a letter coming to Katie Griggs this week about, press credentials, tickets, empty seats, the city, things like that, that the president of the team would want to know about if she actually took my phone calls. And fans are concerned about the pitching. Fans are concerned about all sorts of things in regard to them winning. But I'll say this, man, and I'll say this to Katie as well. I've been at this 34 years, man. You're like an old fart like me at this point. And even you were pissed last week saying it's been 42 years and like all that fan angst. But more than that, the losing that we have endured, that Katie Griggs did not, and David Rubenstein with his bobblehead this week, which is just on the face of it bizarre. If you would have told me the person buying the team would have their own bobblehead in April of 2025, last opening day, I would say we're probably headed toward a disaster. But all that aside, all the ego aside, and why in the world he has a bobblehead, okay.
Yeah.
And why he's got shtick and an outfit and the hats and whatever Chris Uhlman is trying to whistle up here, and what's on the field is the most important thing. Maybe not to the soccer mom club bringing their kids down to run the bases on Sunday and hanging out for an extra inning game on a pretty decent day in April, but like the notion that somehow you and I got cocky. That you and I just thought there's going to be a season, they're going to be in it, over-unders 90 on wins, they're fine, they could bring in three battle axe pitchers and just rubber band and paperclip it all together. I don't know, dude. I mean, it's really hard to do. I was hanging out with Mark Messina Saturday night, shaking our tails with Tommy Cromwell. We were just, I mean, he did an hour of baseball with me. You'll hear that here. You'll find that at Baltimore Positive. But, like, he's one of the most astute baseball people I know. Like, I mean, of people that I would hang out with on an island and talk baseball with, you, Messina, count them on a couple of hands. Rob Nyer's coming on this week. So, I mean, I'm trying to bring in some people that have seen more than Katie Griggs has seen in baseball, more than David Rubenstein, who doesn't know anything about baseball, has seen. And I'll tell you what, man, this winning thing's a bitch. It's hard, really hard. Hard to sustain it, hard to win 3 years in a row, even when they expand the wild card into the bush. It's why the Yankees haven't had any parades in recent times. I was hanging out with Messina's brother. That was pointed out to him as well. So I would just say it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And we just thought, like, oh, we're going to roll the ball out and there's going to be a season here and we're all going to, we're going to be a playoff team. And it's not that easy. If it was that easy, Angelos would have figured it out at some point, stumbling over himself for 30 years. This is hard to do, even when you have Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser and a genius manager and, the profile GM and you have all these young stars and Toby Mayo's got the big bat and, okay, I mean, it's really hard to do. And the Yankees are trying, and the Red Sox are trying, and everybody else is trying too. I hope he enjoys the bobblehead on Saturday night. But the real question is here, how are you going to run the team?
Sure. I mean, I, you know, the bobblehead thing's what it is. I'm not outraged about it or anything like
I'm
that,
not
but it's,
outraged. I'm
yeah, and I
outraged
know,
that you
no,
have
and
a
I
press
know.
seat tonight and I don't.
It's a
I'm
little odd.
outraged about that. I'm
No,
outraged.
it's odd. I mean, it is, but whatever. I mean, it's him tossing hats, and that was his thing last year.
But that's but no no
But
no that's not even the I don't care who
no,
owns the
I
team. I didn't
understand that.
care if Angelo
I was just
who's going to
acknowledging you
pitch
said
is
that.
really going to be and that's going to fall to his desk.
Well, it doesn't fall to his desk. It falls to Mike Elias's desk. I mean, ultimately, if we're taking everything that we've seen over the last year at face value, Rubenstein trusts Mike Elias. There clearly has been an increase in payroll. Now, we can all debate how it's been spent, how much more they can spend, what the ceiling's going to be over the next 3, 4 years, all of that.
And whether it's
All
going to
that's
make a
TBD.
difference, right? And
But right.
whether
Well, and
spending another $30 million this year is
well.
going to wind up meaning three playoff games in October where they have to hit the ball.
And this is also where we have to acknowledge, it's not even the elephant in the room because it's, they have eight pitchers on the injured list right now, including your opening day starter, the guy that was going to be either your opening day or your number two starter, your ace from 2 years ago. And again, Bradish and Tyler Wells, they already knew. So I don't want to give them a complete pass. That's not something that just popped up in spring training. But the guy that they signed instead of Jeff Hoffman is on the IL, although he's looks like he's ahead of schedules, throwing bullpens. I think Kittredge, the way it's looking now, is going to be back earlier than we might have thought 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that's good to see. But again, he was your key acquisition for this bullpen where we're looking at it and saying, is there enough high leverage capability there? I mean, you go down the list, Albert Suarez, who we thought might be an interesting piece in that bullpen, or he'd be in the rotation. He's gone. So I don't want to make the.
That's a lot of innings.
It
You're just
is. It
taking the
is.
innings
And
out.
I'm sorry, like, look how much the Yankees have spent on their starting rotation in comparison to the Orioles. Go look at what the Yankees starter ERA is. There's one team in baseball waking up Monday morning with a worse starter ERA than the Baltimore Orioles. You know who it is? It's the New York Yankees. And you consider how much they have that's sitting on the IL and Gerrit Cole or Luis Gil, who was, Rookie of the Year caliber last year,
Well, that's where the prick
or won it,
journalist
actually.
says, do you have bad training or bad luck? And you can say yes,
It can be yes.
because across the board, this is what pitching is in baseball. This is an industry issue for all of them.
Well, and that's why for me, I've gone back to and philosophically, I've said, have you done enough from a draft and development standpoint with the pitching because you need numbers, right? And that's not to say that I wouldn't have drafted any college hitters the way that they did. I'm not saying that approach was 100% wrong. But you look at it and you say over time, are you taking enough swing? It's just like how I would talk about the Ravens for years, not drafting wide receivers until the fifth round, right? Where I'd say, get what you pay for here. At some point in time, you need to be a little more measured, a little more calculated in saying, we need to get better at this position. So we need to invest a little more as far as our resources, our meaningful resources in doing that. And that's where I kind of look at the Orioles and say, okay, you're not going to sign pitchers to lucrative long-term deals, although I think they gave a very made a very fair, reasonable offer to Corbin Burns. You know, they went for a higher AAV than the length of the deal. He prioritized length, and really, he prioritized pitching on the West Coast and Arizona, where he has a home. So, but when you look at it across the board, if you're not going to sign pitchers to long-term deals, and look, there's plenty of legitimacy to that philosophy when you consider the rate at which pitchers are injured. But then you got to see, what are you doing on the flip side? Are you doing more drafting and developing? Or are you trying to harvest more arms then? Are you trying to have more of a crop of guys in your farm system that are viable starting pitchers and viable relievers? And you know, you look at what it's been so far. I mean, who have they drafted and developed that's made it to the majors and made an impact? I mean, that list is no one. They've, you know, Kyle Bradish, they developed. I don't want to, you know, short them on credit for him. I mean,
But this is what they did in Houston, right? They identify players, right?
I mean,
They
you know.
identify what they want. They consume themselves with taking the sure thing because everything they do is
Sure.
based on math. The sure thing is arms fall apart, bats don't.
Right.
Bats we can stock up on, trade Cobie Mayo and Connor Norby, maybe even Holiday and Couser at one point along the line to acquire what they need to acquire.
Yeah.
But they're not going to trade Holiday or Couser. They're going to get those guys to the big leagues and get their clocks running and get them playing. And
Sure.
I
Oh, and
listen,
that's,
man, if Mike
but I'll say
Elias were
this.
sitting here and if he actually talked to me, I would say, I look at the guys on your IL and I say, you clearly can identify, you know what a good pitcher looks like. You know what you want. You know how to get it on the field. I would say this for Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh. If Lamar had gotten broken in half two more times than he has the last 7 or 8 years and gotten squared up, and really the way Flacco got squared up by Kiko Alonso, if that had happened a couple of more times and Lamar couldn't play or was more unavailable to play, like Joe Burrow, let's say, you would have to look at that and say, where we have to have a quarterback. But does he need to run into linebackers? Which was a very fair question for me to ask 7 years ago. You're saying they don't even think to develop pitchers because they're afraid of their arms falling off. And out of the gate, that's just bad math at the casino, on the casino floor. Play the game with the better odds. The better odds are college hitters.
Well, then I'll say this, then their offense needs to be better.
Fair enough.
Because that's why you've heard me talk about that so much over the first 2.5 weeks, because go look at where they stand in runs per game. They going into Sunday, they were right around at league average, you know, right around the middle of the pack. You know, as they woke up, you know, after the split with the Blue Jays, they were, I believe, you know, the league average is 4.28 runs per game. They're at 4.4. So that's where I have been harder on their offense, because that's where everything you just said is valid, right? I'm not saying you're wrong, and that might, clearly that's been their mindset. But if you're not going to draft pitchers early, you're not going to sign them to long-term deals. So that means you're kind of looking at, you know, you make trades, you go for diamonds in the rough. And look, they've done that. Albert Suarez was a great example of that last year. Albert Suarez was arguably their second best starting pitcher last season, and at least until Eflin arrived, and was a great success story. They've done things like that. Danny Coulomb, when they acquired him, on a it was a, what a waiver claim 2 days before opening day, and he was their second or third best reliever the last couple of years. You know, before they decided to not to pick up his option, which is looking questionable when you look at how disastrous C&L Perez has been this year. But the point is, they've done some of that. But if you're only doing that, and you're only relying on 1 year deals and flyers and things of that nature, man, that's really tough to navigate with a pitching staff that's made up of that. So, and then, you know, when the top pitching prospect that you did inherit, Grayson Rodriguez, can't stay healthy. So it's tough. And that's where I said they've got to score runs. You know, you see how the Yankees hit, right? And the Yankees, their bats have cooled off a little bit from when they hit, what, felt like 50 home runs against the Brewers a couple weekends ago, but they're scoring over 6 runs per game. You know, the Cubs right now are scoring over 6 runs per game. I'm not saying they're going to continue to do that for 162, but they're going to score over five. And that's the kind of offense the Orioles are absolutely going to need to have if they're going to make anything of this season. And I would have told you that even before Eflin got hurt. I would have said that even before Grayson Rodriguez had the issues in spring training. I mean, this team is constructed because of the philosophy that you've cited and is correct and might even have, not might, does have plenty of merit to it. But then it needs to be that great offensively. It needs to be what is carrying you. It needs to be a top three, top four,
And
top
when you get
five
to the
kind of
blackjack
offense.
table with Corbin Burns, you need to win.
Well,
I mean,
sure.
and that was unwinnable. In the same way that saying, let's sign Gunnar. I don't know. Scott Boras, I don't know. I don't know. I
Yeah.
mean,
Well,
that's going to be about that kid and whether he wants to be here and
sure.
what you're as a
But
media member or a fan or a long-suffering local business owner or like whatever my opinions of all of this would be. I just know they need to figure out a way to win,
yeah.
and they just need to figure out a way to win, and that's
Sure.
going to involve better pitching than what they have right now. Because the other guy, for 30 years, I sat here, and I'm going to point this out to Miss Griggs this week. They didn't even try for long stretches here. There were years and years and years where it was just a given that they weren't going to win. They couldn't win. They didn't have enough money to win. They didn't have enough moxie to win. The owner didn't care enough to win. They were too busy fighting with the Nationals, fighting with me, fighting with everybody. Like, I hope all of that's over with as they give out these bobbleheads on Friday or Saturday night with the owner. But like, at some point, the owner's only going to be popular if the team wins.
Oh, no question. No question. And look, you what you just mentioned, I would even say it's not even wasn't even like an apathy as much as they had plenty of years where they spent money, but not enough to make a difference. And they lost, but they didn't lose enough to be picking 1-1, right? I mean, think about where they were from, you know, 98, 99, they were still kind of sort of trying to win. I mean, they signed Albert Bell in 99. But
Well, I
when you
told you
got
I
into,
hung out with Mark Messina all night on Saturday. The day that Mike Messina left was over. In
yeah,
retrospect, as you look,
sure.
it was over. Well, you lost Corbin Burns. You lost an ace in his prime,
Right.
and you're not getting those innings. Now, Corbin Burns' arm might fall off. There was no thought of that with Messina at the time. You know, even though Ben McDonald was teeter, you know, some guys had had arm problems. But
Yeah.
after Strasburg and in the modern era, we sit here with Gerrit Cole, we talk about all of these guys. You know, a problem in that era was Matt Young giving him too much money and he wasn't good enough. It wasn't that Jimmy Key's arm was going to fall off or Pedro Martinez or Curt Schilling or Randy. Those guys were just, they went out and pitched. They took the ball 230, 260, 280, whatever it was, you knew what you were buying. We're not in that market anymore. We're in the hurricane climate change market where anything can happen anytime in, in Asheville, North Carolina. Like, so I don't know what to say about that from a value perspective, but this franchise fell apart when it lost its number one starter and it never figured it out. Because you know what? You can give Sidney Ponson a bag of liquor and a bag of money, and it's not going to make him a better pitcher. It's not going to
Sure.
make any of these guys better than they are. What you saw last year was the real deal, you know, as identified by Jim Palmer and Ben McDonald. And you know, that doesn't grow on trees. And now in the modern era, when you think you have one in Grayson Rodriguez or you think you have one in Kyle Bradish, you don't. And it's like grabbing at sand in the surf. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the level of expectations of the fans in regard to how good the hitters are and how good we think this is, you know, like the Tigers of the 90s where they're just going to hit home runs every night and but they're not going to win, you know, and the pitching's that cumbersome at this point for me. You know, like as I look at the bullpen, there's nothing about it that smells like excellence to me, like that this can be a really good team.
I mean, it's hard to argue otherwise until we start seeing better. I mean, I've said it, and look, we saw it Saturday. When Batista's available and you have everyone available in your bullpen, I think there's the makings of it being good enough. Like, whatever that means, right? I mean, good enough, but Is it so good that it's going to overcome what the starting pitching is? I mean, that's where I have major doubts. And especially then when you get into a case like Sunday where Batista was down. Now, even if Batista didn't have, wasn't coming back from Tommy John surgery, you know, he can't pitch every single night. Cano can't pitch every single day. So that's where I say, yes, you need five or six guys. Even if you have, okay, you have an eight-man bullpen. I'll hear, you know, a typical bullpen for even a playoff contender. You know, many teams are going to have a long man out there, and you'll have another guy that at some point, and this will rotate, you'll have someone that's like right now at CNL Perez. They don't trust Perez to put him into a close game right now. That doesn't mean they won't in 3 weeks, but right now, starting out, you know, coming out of the gate, he's been awful. But he might be fine in 3 weeks, and then someone else will be struggling, or someone else gets hurt, or whatever. But that's why I keep saying, with the rotation being where it is, questions even before the injuries, and now with the injuries, if the bullpen's not going to be really, really good behind it, then yeah, it is. It's a Herculean task looking up at the box score, you know, up on the scoreboard and saying, how are we going to navigate 27 outs today?
You
How are we
can't
going to
hit
do
your
that?
way out of it. You know,
And
I mean, in the
it's,
history of
I mean, you
baseball,
can
I've never
sometimes,
seen
but not
anybody. I
consistently.
mean, I talked about this last week with offense in the NFL, with the greatest offenses and run and shoot this and all that. Like, Peyton Manning didn't win until his team played a little bit of defense. You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of those machines that can do it one way, but not it. You know, it's a game of balance. I mean, all the
Well,
sports
and
are.
I don't,
Hockey playoffs about to start. So, you know,
but baseball is a difference. Baseball is a different sport. Football, you can. I mean, you can overcome it. Maybe you don't win a Super Bowl, but you can still win 13 games, let's say, right? But baseball, being the game that it is, day to day, high variance, right? You have outcomes. I mean, that's why we talk about it. That's why everyone loves baseball. Everyone's going to win 50 games. Everyone's going to lose 50 games. It's what happens, you know, with kind of that middle section, right? As far as every team. But when you have a pitching staff that is hurt, the rotation wasn't didn't look great on paper to begin with, and now it's injured, and now you look at the bullpen, and you know Batista, you know, got to save on Saturday. It was great to see, you know, pitched out of a jam. You know, you'd rather him not walk two guys, but that's going to happen some. But Saturday, that's why it felt so good. It's like, okay, this didn't feel like something that was impossible to do. But then on Sunday, when you have a three-run lead in the eighth inning, and Gregory Soto, who, you know, isn't your eighth inning guy normally, but because Cano was going to close the game, you needed someone to pitch the eighth inning. He's the kind of guy that has to get outs for you. You know, he's not. Fans might say he's a scrub. They might say he stinks. But as you try to look at the
well, he had
pecking
that
order,
month that we're all wowed by, and it's been 2 years,
no, I mean
right?
it's not
So,
really.
but
I mean,
that's
he had
relief
two
pitching, right?
all-star. I mean, he made two all-star games. Now, it was with the Tigers. I mean, they were bad at the time, but like that's the kind of pitcher he can be at his best. But when you look at it and you say, okay, that might work pitching for a team that's not very good and doesn't have expectations. We saw this in Philly the last 2 years. I mean, the Phillies were excited to acquire him, and then you saw what happened. They got rid of him at the trade deadline last year because they didn't trust him. But I'm not, you know, I'm picking on him just because he was the primary culprit on Sunday. But the point goes on that even if you have Batista from 2 years ago, even if you have Cano from 2 years ago, it can't just be those two guys, especially when you have a rotation that if you get a quality start, that's a win. That you're ready
Right.
to throw a parade for that, right? And
How
this is.
often are they going to get 6 innings and 3 runs?
And this is, but this is where I'll even point out
They're not
if
even
you,
trying in most. These 35-year-old guys aren't even trying to get to six. They're trying to get through the fourth.
but this is where I look at what happened over the weekend. Look, we haven't even mentioned him by name. You know, Sagano, you know, he made it 4 2/3 innings. Fortunate. I mean, his command wasn't very good. I mean, he
And
being the
that's what
kind of,
he is.
right. And that's where I look at him. And look, it's been three starts. I mean, I'm not drawing a sweeping conclusion about him just yet. Let's be clear. However, he doesn't wow you. He doesn't throw 98. He doesn't have insane secondary stuff. He has an assortment of five or six pitches that are just different enough that if he commands and he can move the ball around the strike zone and navigate, I think he can be a solid back half of the rotation kind of starter. But if his command, and when I say command, I don't mean he walks six guys. I mean you have to hit your spot, right? You can't be throwing strikes, but you're wild within the strike zone. That's when a guy like him is really going to run into trouble. And I think what we saw on Saturday from him was, he walked 2 4 2/3 innings. It's not so much about that. It's just how sharp was he? I don't think he was terribly sharp. And you saw what happened. I mean, he scatters eight hits. He walks two. But at the end of the day, with a rested bullpen and a bullpen that has to do the job, he gave up 3 runs in 4 2/3 innings. It wasn't disastrous to the point where they didn't have a chance to win. That's about the best they can expect from these guys right now. And
Well, you always
that's
feel
where
like
it's so
Kramer's
tough.
composure is going to fall apart. And part of the Gibsons and these older guys, you feel like they're at least not going to lose their ish out on the mound. Charlie Morton's older than that, but I just don't know if he can do it, right? That,
Yeah.
you know, that then there's just the, are you too old to do it? Kyle Gibson's doing 3 innings of minor league, and the manager's like, he's not ready yet. Well, I mean,
I mean, he's going to need, I think when he says that, he's going to have at least one more start there. I think it's going to be two more starts there. And then I think once his pitch count is up to, say, 80, then I think because I mean, you look at this, how many pitches are these guys throwing as it is? So you kind of look at it and say, if he's up to where you feel comfortable that he can throw 80, 85 pitches in an outing, I think you'll see him then. So I don't think it's
I
going to be
think
much
him coming
longer.
here and throwing spring training BP wouldn't be much worse than what they have, especially if you were working out of the
Yeah.
bullpen in some controlled environment where this weekend he's in the big leagues and getting
Yeah.
you through the sixth inning or so. I
Yeah.
don't know. I'm just saying, like, they're falling down the mountain here a little bit, and I am
Yeah.
concerned that
You should
they
be
haven't hit
concerned.
their.
I am too.
I don't know they've hit their rough patch yet. You know what I mean? Because there are going to be
I don't
more
know.
injuries. I mean, there
At
are.
the same time at the same time, let's also look at this and say, as much as you may not be high on Charlie Morton and you may not be high on Dean Kramer, and I have my concerns too, I also don't know if it's going to truly be their eight ERA bad all year, right? I mean, that's been pretty extreme. On the flip side, Cade Povich, look at his, you actually look at his ERA, you look at Sagano's ERA, and it's, 3.6, it's 3.86. I mean, that's, but it's also that's because they're going 4 2/3 or they're going 5 innings,
All right, well,
right?
look,
So,
dude, we're 2 weeks out. Two
I mean,
weeks
so
from now,
I
the
guess my
draft will
point,
be over and the Yankees will be in town. You think Gibson's in the rotation by
2 weeks
then?
from now,
Yes.
yeah. I
Okay.
think at this point, yeah. If you said a week from now, I'd say not quite, but 2 weeks from now, probably. But
Okay.
the fact that we're talking about Kyle Gibson in those terms, and I say that with no disrespect to Kyle Gibson, who, tip of the cap, he's had a long career. He's had a solid career for what he's been asked to do for the most part. But the fact that we're speaking about him in those terms, boy, that says everything about the state of this rotation right now. I mean, it just does.
We're waiting for a
So
number five to return to give
look,
us
I want to be very
4.2
clear.
innings of whatever, right?
I want to be very clear. Even with the pitching being where it is right now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think this is a 90 or 95 loss win team either. I want to be very clear about that. However, when you look at the mojo, you look at the vibes, you look at how good Saturday felt and then how equally deflating Sunday felt, you do have to wonder, even the good things, even the good stuff, you do have to wonder if this all starts to take a toll. And that's where you do start to talk about, where are they with the manager and the coaching staff? Where are they with their young players? Where are they with their clubhouse leadership? It takes a toll, especially if you're at a point where you're not getting consistent starting pitching and you hope Sunday was more of a blip because, as I've said, their bullpen had been quite good going into Sunday's game. At the same time, you look at how the makeup of the first 15 games have gone. They didn't necessarily have a ton of high leverage spots. The games they won fairly convincingly. And a lot of the games they lost, they lost by at least a couple, two, three, four runs. So they haven't necessarily played a ton of close games. They had two close games over the weekend, and Saturday went well. Sunday did not. So,
They
this is
played
tough.
themselves into a tight game Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. No question. And look, I mean, if the bullpen has to do the job. You've got to slam the door with a 3-run lead in the eighth. I mean, I don't care who's out there. That's why I said you can pick this apart and say, oh, they could have left Povich out there try to see if he could get a few more outs. You could have left Baker in for the six, but at some point, someone like Gregory Soto was going to have to get some outs for them, and he didn't get the job. No, didn't get the job done, and they lost as a result. And as I said, they could have squeezed out another hit at some point in time when you're 0 for 13 with runners in scoring position. They didn't. And as a result, they ended up losing. But certainly the pitching was the big culprit on Sunday. And you just look at this, and I think Eflin will be back at some point. We think, we hope Grayson Rodriguez will be back at some point. Kyle Gibson will be in the rotation sooner rather than later. But even with those names, even talking about a potential trade in June or July, is this ever going to be something that is truly good enough? Man, they better
Well, if
hit
you
the
stumble
ball.
into the last wild card, you got prayer. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like,
no
that's the way they're
doubt.
going to look at it.
No
So,
doubt. And this year, more than ever, might be, hey, you see what the Arizona Diamondbacks did 2 years ago? They played they kind of snuck their way into a wild card spot, and 3.5 weeks later, they're in the World Series.
but the
So,
question is for the guy with the bobblehead on Saturday night with the money falling out of his pocket is, how many Robertsons, how much money,
yeah.
where's the acquisitions, what would the value of all of that be in July if the team's three games under 500 then? I don't know. We'll break. We're going to come back. We'll talk some more Oriole baseball. We're going to talk some Ravens. Luke and I are after it. The Orioles are hosting the Cleveland Guardians all week this week. Luke will be at the ballpark. I am writing a letter to Katie Griggs about why he has a press pass and I don't, and Peter Angelos is dead. And then we got Ravens draft coming up next week too. So lots of things on the sports agenda. I have also mixed in a whole bunch of stuff. We've done the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at the Beaumont this week on Thursday. Next Wednesday, we move to Coopers North, and then the 30th will be at Coco's Pub. I also had Beano Ranson on Friday, had a great, great chat with him about NIL and money. And my pal Greg Spaniak came by to talk about Little League Baseball, which began with Mark Viviano 2 weeks ago. So we're talking Little League Baseball here. I don't know that I'm going to get any Little League lacrosse in because I'm not much of a lacrosse guy. You all know that. But if your kids are playing, have at it. I'm trying to fix the baseball team. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.